I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You know, I've been talking about earned media value for quite some time on this podcast. My friends at Eisenberg have just raised the bar on earned media benchmarks with their Social Index. Social Index now gives you globally earned media values across a growing list of 6 geographies for all your KPIs across the top 7 social platforms: Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. You can now visualize these values for deeper analysis, and they have a look-back window over 2 years of historical comparisons. Social Index is updated daily. Don't get stuck with old data. Over 1,000 companies have used the Social Index to understand the ROI of their social campaigns. And if you work with a social agency, you should demand they incorporate earned media values into your reports. Get your earned media value for social content. Visit earnedmediavalues.com/Allen. Again, that's earnedmediavalues.com/ALAN.
For all of us, it's about predicting where the consumer is going and getting half of it right.
One of the things we want to do is create ads that don't suck.
Embracing change creates great possibility.
I'm Alan Hart, and this is Marketing Today.
Today on the show, I've got Alice Milligan. She's the CMO of Morgan Stanley. She oversees the firm's global brand strategy and go-to-market platform, encompassing all their marketing campaigns, sponsorships, and digital properties. And on the show today, we talk about her past. She was previously the EVP and Chief Customer Officer at E-Trade, which was acquired by Morgan Stanley. And before that, she spent time as the Chief Digital Client Experience Officer at Citi and held senior marketing roles at leading brands, including American Express, Coach, and AT&T. And on the show today, we talk about her path, as well as what it's like to market such a complex business as Morgan Stanley with so many different offerings, from self-directed investing like E-Trade to high-end wealth management services and services that also are in the B2B space and servicing employers and other organizations alike. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Alice Milligan. Alice, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, we have to start off with this fun fact I found out about you, which is I heard you are a as seen on TV junkie. I have to know more what this addiction is all about.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm definitely an as seen on TV addict and have been for, I think since I was a little kid. I've got everything or have had everything from the Snuggie to the ab roller. You name it, I've got it, with the exception of, I think, the Pocket Fisherman and the Flobee. My favorite purchase has been the Ronco Showtime Rotisserie, so the Set It and Forget It, which I've used to cook our Thanksgiving turkey, our Easter prime rib, and a whole bunch of other things. And I think I still have the original Ginsu knives, which had to be one of my first purchases probably 25 or 30 years ago. And they still cut a tomato like a piece of paper.
Wow. What is it about the as seen on TV that gets you hooked?
I have to say it's some of the fundamental elements of marketing, right? Some of the first real marketers were on there, starting with, the Godfather, which is Ron Popeil. And just the way they present merchandise, the excitement, the urgency around, purchase now, we're running out, has always been something that's fascinated me. And then just created that curiosity to try them and see if the promises they make actually work.
Yeah. Apparently the Ginsu knives really do, if they're still cutting today. That's amazing.
I've often thought of starting a blog just to rate and review all the products at this point.
There's a second career in there. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, so, you know, from a love of As Seen on TV products, what was your path to becoming the chief marketing officer at Morgan Stanley?
I think the first thing I'd say about my career is it's a marathon, not a sprint. I started out as an administrative assistant at AT&T. Spent over a decade going to night classes to earn my bachelor's in business administration with a concentration in marketing. And then I went on straight from that for another four more years to get my master's degree in marketing from Seton Hall. Doing that while working full time wasn't easy, but I knew it was important and took a lot of determination and taught me some great skills. Then I started, worked my way up through various different roles at AT&T, from HR to marketing to product management, sales, a whole bunch of other areas. And then I went to American Express, where I spent the lion's share of my career, about 15 years, doing various roles from operations to technologies to capability development to marketing, and then ultimately digital, where I managed all of AmericanExpress.com, their mobile app, email, et cetera, and did everything from the strategy and development to the UI UX to leading the agile teams that built product. And so that formed a love for both marketing, branding, as well as digital, which led me to Citibank, where I managed all of the US consumer banking products. So that included credit cards, wealth management, banking, retail, dabbled in omni-channel and a whole bunch of other things, and then ultimately landed at E-Trade, where I was the chief customer officer. And at E-Trade, I was responsible for all the brand's retail products, the digital experience and marketing, which was really exciting. And we put together a great growth strategy. It was a dynamic brand, did a lot in terms of launching new advertising, new marketing. And I was there about 9 months when both COVID hit and Morgan Stanley purchased E-Trade. So I spent the next year really just working on the integration and then transitioned into the CMO opportunity within Morgan Stanley. So here I am today.
Well, it sounds like from your early career to now, you've constantly been learning new aspects as marketing changes, as new technologies come to the forefront. Do you consider yourself like a person that likes learning new things?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a very curious person to begin with. I've always had a love, and I think from really early on in my career, to understand how things work, whether that was when I was in HR and it was, you know, how does an organization work? How do you structure it? How do you create the right jobs? How do you build succession planning and talent acquisition and all of that? To when I did operations and technology, you know, how do you serve clients in the right way? What's important for a call rep to understand and know and learn, and how do they build rapport and engage clients in the right way to building things? And so I think that's how I've approached my career as well. I think one of those things I learned early on is set a bit of a path for yourself in terms of what you want to do and where you want to go, but be open to do something unexpected, which, you know, I've done throughout my career. And that's when sometimes you get the biggest learnings.
One of the things that we've talked about on the show with other folks that have come on is this notion of what you describe as how things work is like systems thinking. And I think they make people that think like that make great leaders. They also make great marketers because it is about the interconnectedness of all the things that you're building and putting out into the world. But let's talk about the role itself at Morgan Stanley. Every CMO role is different. And I'm curious how it's defined at Morgan Stanley and what you have responsibility for.
You know, that's a great question, Alan. And you're right. I've found the CMO, or the chief customer experience officer, which sometimes is a combination, are different depending on every brand. So at Morgan Stanley, what I oversee is the firm's global brand strategy and go-to-market platform. So that includes everything from sponsorships to our digital properties, including social and our marketing campaigns. And I have oversight for our business unit marketing as well, where there's CMOs who are over wealth management, E-Trade, Eaton Vance, our investment management area of the business. So I have really a good purview over all of the firm's marketing and communications. It's a pretty robust portfolio, but one that enables me to look across various channels and ensure synergies so the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, which is really important. And with a lot of our recent acquisitions, it's been an incredibly exciting time for the firm. We're focused on positioning the firm as, you know, a house or a portfolio of brands now, and showing up in a more modern and innovative way to engage the next generation of our clients.
You know, you mentioned the breadth, and that's a light version of what I was looking at on the website, and I didn't realize. So you've got, you know, you talked about E-Trade, the self-directed investing offerings. You got wealth management services on the other end of the spectrum, so to speak. Investment banking, workplace and employer solutions, like company stock equity plans and retirement solutions. That's a lot in the portfolio, like a lot of complexity. How do you, as a marketer, think about managing that complexity?
And I think some of it comes down to my background and experience going to school all those years at night. You learn very quickly how to prioritize and how to focus your time on what's truly important. And in marketing, it's very similar. You know, clients don't need to know everything. They need to know what's relevant and important to them. And so how do you communicate things in that way? Morgan Stanley is a really special place because it's really about collaboration. And in particular, collaboration in the workplace. And that goes for everything that we do, including marketing. You know, one of the things, as I've done some of the client research that has come up, is a lot of our institutional clients or large corporate clients say, you know, one of the differentiating factors of working with Morgan Stanley is that you don't feel like you're working with an org chart. It's seamless. Everybody rolls up their sleeves and contributes their area of expertise, and that's unique and different. And so we really try to embrace that. I stay close with a lot of our business unit CMOs. So Andrea Zaretsky, who's the CMO of E-Trade, and Chuck Burke, who's the CMO of our asset management business. So we can ensure that everything's aligned. We're presenting ourselves in a unified way. We've got one firm mentality, and we're really zeroing in on the target audiences and the important products and services for those audiences. You'll hear us talking a lot about our firm being a category of one. And really what that's all about is it's just a unique brand that stands on its own in terms of the breadth of offering. We can show up in many different ways, and we make sure that we're representing that to the world in the right way.
I like that, the category of one, defining your own path, if you will. Well, when we last spoke, you mentioned you know, one of the elements that you're focusing on is broadening Morgan Stanley's appeal to new and different audiences. Who are you targeting today? Who are you trying to expand to?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we're really at a pivotal moment for the firm. We have a really strong brand that resonates with seasoned investors and an older generation. But with the acquisition of E-Trade and other brands, we also want to ensure that people know we cater to younger clients as well. And we're thinking about, you know, how do we integrate those brands and show up as more modern and innovative and candidly show up in a way that's, you know, sort of unexpected and exciting and propels us into the future. We want to maintain our loyal base of wealth management clients and corporate investment banking clients, but then also make sure people understand that we can pretty much serve our clients at every stage in their life cycle, whether they're just starting out, whether they're really digitally savvy and self-directed investors or traders. They're going to, you know, they're a startup that's going to an IPO stage, or they're a well-established large corporate. We've got the products and services, the equity research, the tools and capabilities to really help all of those clients succeed. And we think it's important to make sure that people understand that Morgan Stanley is not just, you know, sort of your dad's firm any longer. It's a firm that really serves many, many audiences and has the unique aspect and advantage that many firms don't, of having, you know, a long history of going through complex and trying times and coming through really well on the other side.
Well, I mean, it's quite a balancing act to kind of serve both the core, those older clients, historical customers, and also connect with younger audiences and bring, you know, the fresh blood, the new next generation into the fold, so to speak. How are you managing to balance those two things from how you show up in the marketplace from a marketing standpoint?
There's a lot coming down the road that I won't share, Alan, and hopefully we'll have the chance to chat again. But if I think about some of the stuff we've already done, we're really starting to chart new territory. So as you know, one of the big areas that we show up in is our sponsorships and events. And we've got really strong relationships with brand ambassadors that we've had with the firm for a while, like Justin Rose, who we've teamed up with for a number of years and are building out those types of partnerships. So for example, earlier this year, we launched a platform called Everyone Deserves a Shot during the Players Championship. And it featured Justin and fellow golfer Cheyenne Woods speaking to the need to help develop the next generation of diverse players and giving them the tools they need to succeed. And that campaign is really important because it's similar to people when you think about their financial lives, right? Getting educated early on, having mentors and coaches and the right tools that develop you over time to be able to feel confident in terms of investing in your financial well-being. And for some groups of people, building generational wealth is a new area for them. And so we found that if you do education early and often and give people the right tools and mentors, that they're much more successful. And it's the same in sports. So we've really focused on, you know, how do you bring those two things together and demonstrate the synergies. Earlier this year, we also announced a new partnership with Layla Fernandez, who's the newest addition to our family. And she's 19-year-old Canadian tennis phenom of Ecuadorian and Filipino descent. And she's really inspiring a new generation of athletes and partnering with us to expand access to the game. She's really active in a lot of the social channels. She's really focused on ensuring she's inspiring people like her to be in the sport and to feel good about being successful. And what we've said or what we've seen in early days is that a lot of the initial metrics around that announcement alone blew our traditional metrics out of the water. So it generated like 7 times the social engagements versus our average click-through rate and over 6 times our benchmark. So people were really excited to see that, whether it was clients or our own employees. I can't tell you how much feedback I got from our own employees about their excitement around bringing Layla on. And so you'll see much more of that from us in the coming years and just sort of interacting with clients in a different way and showing them how we're taking, whether it's our diversity and inclusion initiatives or other initiatives, to the next level in modern ways.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal what getting the right ambassador, if you will, brand ambassador on board can do for a brand, especially if they represent kind of where you're going and there's excitement around them as well. So it's a kudos on getting some great people in your brand ambassador portfolio. Those ambassadors you talked about, they also, one, they represent kind of the spectrum of folks that you're trying to target. especially Layla as an example of that, being younger, more diverse, and they're bringing their own passions around those topics, diversity and inclusion. How is Morgan Stanley driving the conversation and action on diversity and inclusion?
I love this question, Alan, because it's really a crucial role that we're playing and a crucial part of our strategy. And we're trying to embed it in all that we do. You know, diversity and inclusion is not like a one-off single program to us. It's more an element of how we do our business. And, you know, we've had core values at the firm for many years. And one of those, or two of those core values are, one is around diversity. The other is around giving back. And so it's part of the DNA of the firm. And now we're just sort of translating that into the marketing that we do. One of the things I would say as a marketer, and also, you know, quite frankly, as a woman in financial services, we've had to take a hard look at how consumers view our brand and the industry as a whole. And sadly, despite women controlling $14 trillion of personal wealth in the U.S., almost 51% of the total, a lot of our research and studies show that women commonly use descriptors like unwelcoming and patronizing to describe the wealth management industry. So we really want to change that and believe it needs to change. So we're actively seeking ways to engage women on their terms, where they are. Our ambassadors are just the tip of the iceberg. So you'll see much more from us in the coming months through the end of the year and early next year around how we're approaching things on this front.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And as a guy that was raised by really strong women, you guys rule the world. I don't know why we don't just acknowledge that, you know, and let it happen, because the world is a better place when women rule. It's just true. So anyway, moving on. One of the things I could not help but notice was E-Trade bringing back the baby earlier this year. And I know that's one of the, you know, things in your portfolio that's going on, but I love it because it was an asset that I remember, you know, years before. It definitely helped, you know, E-Trade stand out in the past. And it also, in this new investment world where you've got, you know, people trading, young, very young people trading on things. It was just hilarious too, because it was like, it wasn't until I think the corporate folks said, you know, people are getting their advice from memes. And he was like, let me get my onesies. I'm on this. So I'm curious if the baby has more juice in the tank for E-Trade.
You know, it was interesting because that was a really great and fun moment for us. I think over 208 million Americans tuned into this year's Super Bowl. So they saw that the baby is back, and that's the E-Trade baby. I think we brought the baby back to help amplify how the brand provides our customers with best-in-class offerings across the spectrum, whether that's digital investing, to trading platforms, to personalized support and guidance, access to marketing, insights and analysis, et cetera. So it was really important. I think the other thing, Alan, which was interesting, so when E-Trade was acquired by Morgan Stanley, we put together a pretty concentrated effort to determine, you know, what and how do we represent the brand going forward. As I mentioned earlier, right now, Morgan Stanley becomes more of an enterprise or a master brand, and there's a house or a portfolio of brands under that. And what we heard from E-Trade clients is they were a bit concerned, saying, you know, is it going to change? Because as you know, E-Trade is an iconic brand. It's always been a disruptor in the space. And so there was some concern by the clients that would prices go up? Would we lose some of the innovation? Like, how would this big company now taking over E-Trade turn out? And so that was a great example. So we did a whole bunch of things around just warming our clients to the changes, right? Sharing, it's not that E-Trade's going to change, it's that E-Trade's going to get better and you get new and different products and services along with all the great things that you're accustomed to and the pricing that you're accustomed to. But ad was a little bit of a nod to that, right? And we poked a little fun at ourselves with the suit to see the baby while he's chopping logs. And it was really a statement to say, E-Trade's back, the baby's back and here to stay. and there's a new partnership between the baby and the suits.
I love it. I love it. Well, and it is a great nod to the heritage of E-Trade, and hopefully consumers saw that and liked it as much as I did as well, and said, oh, okay, E-Trade's still here. It's still here. And it's still the thing that I love to use. So anyway, I thought it was a great marketing tactic, and the brand strategy questions that you're trying to wrestle with, you're just describing about the master brand and how to represent and its connection to E-Trade. Those are all great questions. And look forward to seeing the baby again. We'll see.
I'm going to keep you in suspense.
I know.
More to come.
Well, one of the things we love to do on this show is turn the tables around a little bit, get to know you, take behind the business topics that we cover. And my favorite question that I ask is, has there been an experience of your past that defines or makes up who you are today?
So I would say, it, like the Drake song, I really started from the bottom and have a very different path to Wall Street than many of my counterparts. And so, you know, one of the things I think I've learned along the way is that not assimilating and being the same is important. It's about being different. And, you know, earlier in my career, I would sometimes be in meetings and different things, and I would look at others and say, okay, how do I build that skill? How do I get to that place? And what I realized, and when I realized this, that's when my career really took off, was it's not about being the same. It's about, you know, sort of embracing your uniqueness and bringing new perspectives to the table. Leaders don't want or need, maybe sometimes they don't know they don't want it, but what they need is people to be representing a different point of view than their own, not the same. So if you own those aspects of yourself that make you you, you sort of bring a new whole self to the workplace, and it's really a game changer. It brings another level of thinking that ultimately results in a better outcome for everybody.
I love that perspective and thought. A kid like myself that came up through working class family, I did go to college, so I wasn't working necessarily. I was working through college part-time, but not working like you were. There is a lot of pressure to just be like the other people. I love the fact that you found this way to bring your own unique self to them. Obviously learn the skills that everyone had around you, but bring your own unique self to the table as well. Well, what advice would you give your younger self if you're starting that journey all over again?
So I would say I learned that sometimes the harshest critic was myself, right? And it is yourself. And you can be harder on yourself than maybe anyone else is. So I think if you play to your strengths, they're your greatest assets, and trust in yourself. So you almost take that sort of self-doubt and channel that into self-trust. Then you sort of love what you do. You're good at it. Success will come, and you're passionate about it. And I think that's important, because for most people, confidence is everything in terms of representing yourself and representing your business and doing the right things by clients. And if you're kind of talking that negative talk to yourself, it's really hard to be confident. So I would say if I learned that sooner, who knows what would have happened.
Love it. You've been learning your entire career. You've been going to school while working full time. What is there a topic that you think marketers need to be learning more about right now, or maybe something that you're trying to learn more about yourself?
You know, I always focus on and think it's really important, data analytics and like a data-driven approach to marketing. I think, you know, traditionally marketers have been viewed as these, you know, creative people, which is important, right? Marketing is a mix between art and science. But I think at times people focus more on the art than they do the science. And so I think, you know, now more than ever, data and analytics and really understanding what is happening as a result of the marketing you're doing is the lifeblood of marketing. It has the potential to drive everything we do, from determining like what sponsorships we engage in, where we purchase our media, how we purchase our media, how we develop the right communications, are they resonating, all of those things. And whether it's qualitative data or quantitative data or real data that you have about your existing clients, it's really important for things like targeting and segmentation, personalization, customization, all of the things that make what we do relevant to individuals who are seeking our products and services. So for me, the challenge is a little bit about how do we marry the science and the art to really make magic? And how do you learn more and more about the tools and the techniques around data and analytics? Because it's constantly changing, whether it's the technology or the capabilities or the outcomes.
Yeah, no, so true. Are there any brands, companies, or causes that you personally follow or you think other people should take notice of? We know you're an As Seen on TV junkie already.
I know. You know, I think one of the ones that's interesting to me now is the buy now, pay later companies like Afterpay and Klarna. And I think it's because, one, they're innovative. They're out of the box in terms of the marketing and fulfillment. And they've really tapped into a client need. And what I would say is at the heart of it, you know, I've talked about modernizing and digitizing a solution that's not like your dad's solution. What I liken them to is like back in my day, it was, you know, layaway, right? It's almost like that concept modernized for a digital world and then also addressing the need for that people have today for instant gratification. So you get the stuff now and you pay over time versus get the stuff until you pay over time. But I think they do some really interesting things and have really modernized that concept. And when it comes to partnerships, you know, they're doing some really interesting things like Klarna and Lady Gaga and showing up in ways that traditional financial services companies haven't yet. So I feel like they're capturing the attention of some new audiences. And the way that they've integrated themselves into the purchase path, which for me is a really important aspect. You know, I think we can talk a lot about the products and features and the benefits of them and the services we provide. But where the rubber meets the road is when someone's at a decision point. In this case, they're at the decision point to pay. If you're integrated into the purchase path and you're an option that they can choose, it's much more effective than, you know, sending them a communication a few months ago and having them remember about this potential option. So I think that's an important aspect of what they do. And whether they're ultimately profitable and have a sustainable business model, that remains to be seen. But I think we can all be energized by what they're bringing to the table from a marketing lens and how they're integrating into the purchase path of consumers.
It is a pretty interesting business model. I remember I was trying to explain to my 14-year-old what layaway was, and it was like a total dad moment. You know, back in my day.
Yeah, like I walked to school.
Yeah. And she just couldn't wrap her head around. She's like, wait, you went to the store and you paid the money, you know, every week or whatever, and then you didn't get it until like you paid it all off. And I was like, yeah, that's the whole point was layaway. Put it away. I'll pay a little bit towards it. Anyway, I'm still not entirely sure she understands, but
try doing that with her iPhone.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's not going to work these days. Well, last question for you. What do you think is the largest opportunity or threat to marketers today?
I would say probably the greatest opportunity is also the greatest threat, which is our ability to attract and retain top-tier marketing talent. As everyone's talked about, it is a really competitive marketplace out there, and it's sort of an employee's marketplace. And so cultivating a culture where the next generation of marketers feel they can grow and excel in their careers is mission critical for me. When I started this role, I spent the first 90 days just going out into the company and the organization globally and looking at and getting a sense from everyone what they viewed as the opportunities. And then set sort of a vision in those key areas of opportunity. One of them was around attracting talent and retaining talent. And so a vision that I've set for myself and the team is that over the course of the next 3 to 5 years, having Morgan Stanley be the go-to choice for the next generation of marketers who come out of school. And so in order to do that, I've put in place a number of things. We started at the ground up in terms of let's look at our own house and make sure that is clean and working. And so we've done things like created a marketing curriculum called Marketing Matters, where we bring in industry experts to talk about new trends like technology changes in media and a whole bunch of things like that to make sure that our marketing team is up on what the latest techniques and tactics and changes are in the industry and space. We've created a mobility site where across all of the firm's marketing organizations, whether it's firm-wide, wealth management, E-Trade, Eaton Vance, et cetera, you can see what marketing job openings are out there and you can apply and post for those roles. We've created community where we're doing town halls collectively, sharing learnings and best practices, having weekly stand-ups that talk about what we're doing on each team, a consolidated calendar, all of those things. And then we've also created a unique summer intern and analyst program where we're partnering with some key marketing schools to bring in analysts and interns over the summer that really focus specifically on marketing and a marketing curriculum. And then just doing things like this, in all honesty, Alan, where we're getting the word out about the firm and what we're doing and how we're starting to really change marketing and how marketing is done at Morgan Stanley.
I love it. Well, and you will reach a ton of marketers through this podcast. So everyone that's out there listening and interested in financial services, and obviously you're all marketers, you should check out Morgan Stanley.
Definitely.
Well, Alice, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Alan, it's been a pleasure. And thanks for having us and giving us this opportunity.
Hi, it's Alan again. Marketing Today was created and produced by me, with support from my team and podcast editors, sound engineers, and writers at Share Your Genius. Find them at shareyourgenius.com. If you're new to Marketing Today, please feel free to write us a review on iTunes or your favorite listening platform. Don't forget to subscribe on marketingtodaypodcast.com and tell your friends and colleagues about the show. I love to hear from listeners. You can contact me on marketingtodaypodcast.com. There, you will also find complete show notes, links to what was discussed in the episode today, and you can search our archives. I'm Alan Hart, and this is Marketing Today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.